Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we have joy in our hearts and joy in our mind, and we have a wonderful experience on earth with the promise of eternity through Jesus Christ. It is lovely. God, we give you thanks for the opportunities that we have to speak the gospel to the people around us. It is amazing and wonderful that we get to have a joyous experience of life with a glimpse into heaven, as we think of 1 Corinthians 2:9, which says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." And I think about John 14:15, about those who keep God's commandments. And that's another way of knowing that we are in God's will. Do we seek to keep God's commandments? Oh, yes. And it's another way of showing our love for God. Now, many of us believe in God, and many of us desire to live in a way that is pleasing to God. And that is what we continually do. Lord, how can I give you praise and worship? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we have challenges. At this time, we can look back in history and see that there have always been challenges, that there have always been changes, and some things were difficult. In fact, some things were catastrophic, and we still have things that are catastrophic going on today. And I think about that song, "These Are the Days of Elijah." It is a lively song, and it reflects a time of intense spiritual warfare going on. And today we have warfare going on as we prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. And it's not that we have a date. We don't know when Jesus is returning. We just see the signs that are bringing us closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And we do recognize that there will be a judgment coming, eternal judgment. And so we want to make sure that we are in the will of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. I think of John 14:15, how we show our love of God by obeying his commandments. And that's something we all want to do. Let's continue to ponder how we can live according to the will of God through Jesus Christ. There are things that are going to be happening in the world as the spiritual battle continues and gets more intense as the time of Jesus' return is approaching. We have scripture which tells us to stay aware and to learn the Bible truth. We have things going on which we can hardly believe is really going on that are just indications of the days that where there is a battle going on for good and evil. And I think of the things that are not really clearly evil, but they have a little hint of evil. For instance, the first Apple computer was costing $666.66. Now, was that evil? No, it wasn't evil, but it is an indicator, just like the Apple logo on the computers is an apple with a bite taken out of the apple. It's just an indicator. But I think of Genesis, how Eve took a bite of that forbidden fruit, and she gained the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 3:6 it was. So we have indicators. Are they truly saying about what will or will not happen? No, they're indicators. And it's something that we can see the time we are living in and how we want to draw closer and closer to God. We have computer things. We have internet things all around us. And we get the idea of what is coming. But do we know? No, we don't know. But we question things like artificial intelligence. And we think of what artificial intelligence actually tells us. Have you looked things up on the internet? through Google, for instance, well, we get things that Google wants to tell us, and they will do it in a way that has an influence on our thinking. How many times do we say, Alexa this, Alexa that? Will it direct us to something that is godly or ungodly, or even the godly things? Do they have a little twist in them? And I have noticed it. Yes, there is a little twist. And I think the number of pastors who use the artificial intelligence to get information to help them with a sermon. Yeah, I mean, I do it too. I look things up on the internet, and it gives me a fuller information than I can recall. So I am glad for it, but I certainly am aware that that internet stuff has artificial intelligence that can guide us one way or the other, and we have to use our own understanding. If we do not know the Bible truth, we can get a different perspective on what is being told to us by that artificial intelligence. I think of the local pastors, not just local ones, all the pastors who have something to say, and they have an understanding of it that is influenced by that artificial intelligence. And it's easy to do. I know I have to be very careful when I listen to artificial intelligence that it doesn't turn me just a little bit to a different way of thinking. So it's something that we are all going to face as we question things and we ask the computerization for more information. So we have to be careful and make sure we know our Bible and the Word of God to know what it truly says and not what the artificial intelligence says it says. We have people turning to Jesus Christ all over the world, and it's something which is going to affect people in this country also. I think of Iran, where they say they have a million people who have had a dream from Jesus Christ, and they have become Christ followers because of that dream. And here we have the Bible. Do we read the Bible and think that maybe we can get to know Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ from what we know about the Bible? Well, we have a certain amount of time to search for truth that is spiritual. Do we know Jesus Christ? Do we know what will happen to us if we do not have Jesus after we pass this life? Well, we have a situation in front of us where everyone has an end of life, and everyone gets to look at heaven or hell. And now is the time to make the choice of who we are going to follow. Will we follow Jesus, or will we follow our own self with the little things that we want now and then and all the way through life? It's something that we had better know about what we're going to do, and reading the Bible has a great help to understand this. We have people who do not know. We have people in a very difficult place, and they are searching for any goodness that they can get. They want something good, and they look to life to get it. But when we know that there is an eternal goodness of life with Jesus Christ, we want to practice now to speak with Jesus, to obey Jesus, to hear from Jesus, and then follow his words. Now, we get that word out of the Bible, and some people have a dream or a vision that they also learn about Jesus Christ. That will help us to be saved from the fire of hell. Now, that's written about in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and it reminds us as believers to be brave. And that makes me think of how brave we must be to speak the word of God through the Bible. Mark 16:15 commands the believers to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preaching the gospel, that's another thing we might have to be brave to do, because there are people who are going to oppose what we have to say in this time of a spiritual battle going on right in front of us. There are parts of the gospel where we are told to do something or to learn the whole word of the counsel of God. Acts 20:27 tells us we are to know the whole counsel of God. Now, there are people who just want to look at a few verses to get the promises that they want to hear, but it's only wisdom to search a little further and seek what is the whole counsel of God. Read it, know it, remember it, and use it as we go through life. Well, we have instructions, and we thank God for the instructions that are in the Bible. We want to preach about how much God loves each one of us, and yet we know there's more to the scripture than that. There is obeying God, and there is recognizing that there is a judgment, and God will judge all of us, either as believers or as not believers. So we have to consider God's point of view as we learn about judgment. I think of Matthew chapter 7, which talks about a narrow and difficult road, and there is a wide highway that leads to destruction. So that's a warning for each one of us to understand, what is the path we are on? Are we on a path to life, or are we on a path to destruction? Well, we want to look at that really close, because somehow we don't like the idea of destruction. We don't like the idea of hell. And yet we do like the idea of eternal life with Jesus Christ in that heavenly place. So, read the gospel, read the Bible, and understand how you can tell other people about it. What is the path you are on? Are you going to that holy place, or are you going your own way? Well, when I read Ezekiel chapter 33, that made a big difference to me in my life. Ezekiel 33:3, where there is a sword that comes upon the land, and the watchman is he who is to blow a trumpet to warn the people. And whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, then a sword will come upon that person, and his own blood shall be on his own head. But if the watchman does not shout about a warning about the sword coming on the land, then the blood of the person taken will be on the watchman's head. And there are people who understand, they recognize that they are in the place of a watchman. And there are people who simply go through life, and somehow we get involved with everything that is in front of us. There are happenings that go on. There are love and trouble that goes on. There are miracles that happen. There are all these things that go on, and we can understand what is going on in front of us and be convinced of the goodness of God, the glory of miracles. Or we can just know that natural life happens, natural disasters happen, and that is something in our natural self we prepare for, because we do know that troubles happen. We know there are earthquakes. We know there are volcanoes and forest fires and things that are just plain trouble. Now, they happen to these people who are Christ followers and the people who are simply in the world. But somehow, we have a choice to choose to prepare for the things that are coming or not. In the natural. In the natural, we all have the understanding that wars are coming, famine is coming, pestilence, which is an epidemic. All these things are coming. We don't know when, but the Bible tells us they are coming, and so what are we going to do? Do you want to prepare for them? Yeah, it's a good idea. And just in life, I know I've seen plenty of things where I've seen people have hard times, and I've seen people who've lost their life because of their choices and what they've done, or maybe the foolishness of what they've done. I've seen broken legs. I've seen injuries. And somehow we can make a choice that will make the outcome better if we are prepared. I've seen hungry. In foreign lands, there have been people who've been hungry, people in need for one thing or another. And somehow there is something we can do to prepare. Now, in America, we think it's a place of plenty, and it is. But it doesn't mean that we will have everything whenever we want it. We might not have the money. We might not have a place or a way to go to the store and come back with food, water, or whatever it is we need. There is an element of preparation that is good for each one of us to have. And it's not like we know exactly what it is, because it happens in different ways for different people when the trouble or the blessing come along, and somehow we want to be prepared for both. But because there are difficulties coming, the Bible says it, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all have a description of the trouble that are coming. Wars, pestilence, famine, earthquakes, all these things are going to come in the last days before Jesus returns. It's at the end of the age. And so, we know it's coming. Are you going to get prepared, or are you just going to live your life like you are protected? We all make choices, and we all have an effect on our life and the people around us from the decisions we make. Sometimes there is damage, and sometimes there is blessing, and we have to seek out what we ought to do to be wise. Look at the events around you. Look at the events going on in the world. Look at the events in the nation. All in our neighborhood, things are going on, and we have to be wise about what is going on so that we can protect ourselves. After all, if we run out of water, food, or warmth, who is going to come and save us? Do you think it'll be the government? Do you think it'll be the church down the street? Do you think it'll be your neighbors or your family? Most people don't look that far ahead. They just want to live and get through the day with the good things that they can buy. But somehow, we are pretty sure that there's going to be some difficulties that are coming along, and that just might affect you and me. We can only guess really what's going to happen, because there are things that are going to happen which are going to be, well, you could call it a tough time, a tough break. There's something that's going to happen, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be a terrible thing like the beast system, but we do know from the Bible that the beast system is coming. It will start small and develop into something else. That's the way of the world, to gradually accustom the people around the system so that they accept it. And that's what we have going on right now around us. We have movements, we have politics, we have money matters, and all these things are guiding us into a direction which will lead us into the system of the beast. Now, right now, it's a young system. We have a chance to respond, to be protecting ourselves and our loved ones. But if we don't, we already kind of know what'll happen. That little baby monster will grow into a beast system. And that's something which we all want to, well, avoid it. How do we do that? And that's something that each one of us has to decide for ourselves, because it will be taking an effect different for each one of us. And what are you going to do to preserve your freedom as the beast system comes along? Are you going to be able to worship God? Are you going to be able to buy groceries? Are you going to be able to travel? It's a bunch of questions. And it's not that we have the only answer, because there are several answers, just like there always are to the troubles in life. And we have to figure out what we are going to do as the pressures in society and the pressures in our political system grow. What are we going to do when you have to go to war? Will there be a draft? What about when your children and grandchildren are drafted? Then what? How are you going to respond? What are you going to stand for? There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. And there will be everything going on all around us. There's so much going on that we get confused about what we should really react to. And that's a part of the program to influence us, too. If there is so much going on that we can't even grasp how to deal with it, then that's confusion, and our mind just doesn't know what to do. So many people will do what they are told when they are faced with a terrible situation that they don't know how to deal with. That's what has been done in wartime throughout the ages. There's a similar pattern. It's really well understood by the powers that be. It's not so well understood by the regular people like you and me, but we do have a chance to see it. We have a chance to respond, and it doesn't mean we're going to, but we have a chance, and we do want to preserve our freedom and the freedom of those people we love and the innocent around us. It's always a question of how do we do it, and there are a number of answers. Just like there were in Nazi Germany, there are people who opposed it. There are people who hid into areas that were out of the way. There are people who left the country. So we have choices too. When a system comes along that we do not want to be a part of, it'll be harder and harder to avoid it. But if we have no idea about how to stay free, then we probably won't be, because it'll come along and push us into that system, whether it's healthcare or money or politics or war. These are all areas that will push us into the beast system. And people will say, we must love one another. And that, of course, is true. How do we show love? Are we supposed to show love to God? Are we supposed to love our neighbor and our family? And yes, all of that is true, and we show our love as best we know how, and we spread the truth of the gospel, and that's the other thing that we do as we go through life. And yeah, we're still aware of the forces around us. We're still aware of the law. We're still aware of the social constraints that we are in. We're aware of big money and politicians. All of that has an influence on our life, and we have to understand how we are going to, well, either be a part of it or avoid it. It's a part of us. This is something that has gone on all through the ages, and it still goes on. We have the so-called king. Well, we have the authorities in our life, and we have everybody who wants to influence you, maybe to join the army, maybe to pay your taxes. Maybe it'll be like Pontius Pilate, who was called upon to enforce the law. And guess what he did? He sent Jesus to be crucified. Well, you can look into that and see if that was a just thing to do or if it meant trouble. The Bible has plenty of stories in it that are true about how people dealt with authority and how people dealt with effects of the day, the things that went on each day. And we get to figure out what we are going to do. History is a wonderful teacher, and the Bible is a wonderful teacher. And somehow, we learn more and more about history. And that helps us to understand. I was just thinking of one history of, what's his name? He was the leper king. The leper king of Jerusalem, and he stood up for God and protected Jerusalem against Saladin. He was a great Muslim general who outnumbered the Christian forces, and still the king who, King Baldwin IV, who called on God to protect Jerusalem, actually protected Jerusalem, and he won in battles against Saladin, who was a Muslim that wanted to take over Jerusalem. It was an amazing thing that happened, and he was greatly outnumbered. It is a famous battle, just like we have a number of famous battles all throughout history. It's something we all seek to bring glory to God for those battles. I hope we do. And yet we go through life, we see the battles, they're interesting to us, and we want to be faithful as things go forth, whatever it is. It might be the battles of World War I with Bismarck, for instance, or it might be with Winston Churchill. We learn things from the people who go through stressful times, and that Winston Churchill has said some very famous words like, never, never, never give up, never give in. And this is a part of what we learn in history when we learn about the heroes of war. And again, in history, we learn about the heroes of the gospel. And we learn about what is sensible to do and what we don't want to do. Many of us think of the heroes of World War I and World War II as heroes, and we want to be what they have done and be victorious. I think of George Patton, General George Patton in World War II. He has said some famous things. He says, attack. And that's what you do if you don't know what else to do. It's something which we have patterns that we can learn from. Some of them are wonderful and some of them are godly or ungodly. It is always something which we learn from and we make the path forward that we choose. The good paths and even the mistakes that we may have. And we want to learn how to be faithful to God as we go through the events that are right in front of us. We can see the people around us. We can see the powers around us that are, some of them, churning in opposition. Some of them are just plain supporting us, and some support America. And somehow, we want to identify which powers are going to be a benefit for representing God, and certainly to represent the goodness of God is wonderful, but there's uncertainty all around us, and we get to make the decisions about what we speak about and how we act to support either the godly or the ungodly. And then we have an effect on our life and even judgment for what we say and do. follow Jesus Christ. I think of John 1:29, who talks about Jesus being the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And somehow that's a part of what we want to participate in. Participate in the goodness of God. Otherwise, we have the sin that we are a part of, and we want to turn from sin. I think of Acts 3:19, which talks about repent. And repenting is to turn from our sin. A part of that turning is to turn from unbelief. It is surprising how we say we believe, but then we get turned just a little bit into what you could say would be unbelief. And that is something that we all want to guard against now and in our future. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a future, and our future is really about eternity. It is about eternal life. And we want our eternal life to be in heaven and not in that other place, that hot place. We get to have a choice in how we live, and that will have a direct impact on where we spend eternity, heaven or hell. Now, we also have Jesus to save us, but then we want to show our love for Jesus by obeying Jesus. It's a part of what we learn as we read the Bible, and we live in this world and try to figure out what to do. Well, there's so many things in this world that are a little complicated. They're complicated because we have forces pushing on us, whether it's a government or a foreign country. I'm thinking of the countries that want something from another country. What do we say when China wants the gold, China wants the silver? Oh, speaking of the silver, I do know that China and Switzerland have said that no silver is going to leave their country. They want to hold on to it as a strategic metal. Oh, the United States too. That happened recently. So we have these things that are going on in the world that have an impact on how we live and what we choose. And it is also going on in the spiritual world. And somehow we get to look at this and decide how we are going to live. Is your life hidden in Jesus? Are you covered with the Word of God through Jesus Christ? It's something that we all have a choice about what we do and how we do it. It's up to us to reflect the goodness and glory of God through Jesus Christ. As there are troubles in the world, troubles of every sort, there will be war, rumors of wars, there will be pestilence, famine, and earthquakes. We know that. How are we going to get through that? Are we going to be kind to the people that are having troubles? Are we going to preserve our own life by having supplies available? Are we going to share those supplies with the people who we either love and know, or the people we do not know and maybe don't love them? Somehow, we have to deal with whatever we have in our hands and how we're going to deal with it. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm only saying that we all have to make a choice about what we have and what we're going to do with it. God does not promise us every richness. God does not promise us wealth, nor glory, nor the things that would be able to preserve life for the people around us. In times of difficulty or trouble or war, we have to make decisions that represent the goodness of Jesus Christ as we are confronting the difficulties in front of us. Well, they can be on every level. They can be on a personal level. They can be about something in the people we know in church. They can be involved with government or with central banks. And we have a real world situation right in front of us as we see the central banks of this world are storing up gold. They are buying tons of gold, 10, 20 tons of gold or more. And they do this because it has every appearance that there will be a new money system coming into the life of us and the whole world in front of us. And the central banks are getting ready for it, as there is evidence that all currency of the world, including the U.S. dollar, will have a hard time to even survive. And maybe it won't. Maybe the central bankers of the world will say, the dollar is gone, we need a new currency. Oh, and by the way, don't be surprised if that is a part of the system that turns into the beast system. You can look at prophecy to get an idea of what's coming, but we are going to have a hard time to know what is coming or when it will come. But we do know that things are going to happen. And do you want to wait until it is happening in front of your eyes? Or do you want to get a little prepared for the things that are likely to happen? Well, it's likely that we're going to get earthquakes. It's likely that the volcanoes are going to blow. It is likely that there will be violence and confusion in the world around us. And therefore, we have some ideas about what is coming. Now, what are you going to do about it when you can see there is a financial tracking system already forming up? There is a recording of everything that we do. Well, certainly maybe not in the United States, but maybe it is. But in China and India, things are more closely watched, and there is a record of everybody in those countries with over a billion people in them. Could it come to the United States? Oh, yes. It is on the edge of happening, and somehow we get to figure out if we want to live within that system or if we want to preserve a freedom outside of that beastly system. Of course, we will all have a different idea, and we will all seek to do something, and we don't know what. But trouble certainly seems to be coming, as we are watched and monitored ever so closely. Yes, in China. Yes, in India. Yes, in other countries as well. And we don't know what we are, how we are watched in the United States. But with AI, it is quite obvious that we are watched and recorded. Certainly, you know the cell phones that we so often have with us, we are warned that they are always tracking our location, and we are warned that they can listen to you anytime and all the time. So what would we do when there is a system that is out to identify everything about us? What about the phone that tracks your location and reports on everything you and the people around you are talking about? Is that something you want to be a part of? How would you ever leave your phone at home? How would you ever let that artificial intelligence do nothing in your life? We ask so much of it. Google, where's my phone? Google, how do I get to such and such a location? Google, what does this mean? I don't know what this means. How are any of us going to keep track without a computer to ask questions to? Somehow we better check to see how we are being tied into a system where the computer tells us what we want to know, and even what we are to do. Do you want to go to a location? Google, take me to such and such a store. Google, help me. Will we have robots? Will we have a personal assistant, a robot to help us? Well, that's something that Elon Musk tells us. Soon there will be more robots than people. Is that really coming? And do you think that will be because the robots are multiplying, or because the people are dying off? Questions, that's all. And what are we going to do about any of it? Where is the line that separates people from our technology? We all have a choice to make. Are we going to become a part of technology? Are we going to retain our human independence? It's not something that is always evident, especially as we try to get information that we want to have so that we can live an easier life. Will we eventually have a robot helper? Will we eventually have a robot that substitute for our companion? All these things are in play right now, and we don't know what it will turn into or what it will how it will develop. But we know that there is a tendency to have all this happen. The beast system is something we are not really sure about. We have some indicators from the Bible that talk about the fourth beast coming around. That's Daniel 7:7. And there's also Revelation 3:1. And it talks about a beast system. It talks about a beast with great iron teeth. It talks about a world system. It talks about persecuting believers. And it talks about the demand of that system to require everyone to worship the beast. And do you know how that takes place? Well, I don't. It's in the future. But I know that we are getting accustomed to it. We are getting acclimated to the things that are ready to happen. And it's not that we know what we're going to do, because I don't think we do know that. Maybe the system knows. The computerization of artificial intelligence is getting so good that it can determine what you are going to say or what your orientation is going to be about a problem that's right in front of you. AI is ready to help us. Well, that's what we think. And it's ready to save us from a lot of work. And all we have to do is ask it a question. Can you show me where the location is? Can you help me with this tax problem? Can you help me to buy this or that? Take me to a location. It's something we depend on AI more and more. Will it be a wonderful thing or not? Will the blockchain technology be able to determine everything that we have done financially and everything that we would want to do based on our past records? It's something that is going on right now, and we are either getting right into the system to help us, or we are staying free of it. And I don't know many people that are staying free of it. Mostly they think, well, I'm going to use it for part of the things I'm doing, and then I will ignore it whenever I have to in the future. I think of a third of the pastors that use AI to prepare sermons. And we don't know how much preparation they do. We don't know anything about what a pastor does for sure, but you can bet that the AI knows, because the AI is keeping track of everything you ask it and all the information you would like to use. Who knows how much of it we are using in our communication, or how much a pastor is using in whatever they are putting together. It's all a lot of questions for us to be careful, cautious, and watchful over for what we are doing and where it is leading us. We have things that are known and things that are unknown. I think about things that are unknown as we go through life. There are troubles, and I think of the troubles that I've dealt with. Some of them are so physical that is what we know. We know what happens when a person breaks a leg, gets an injury, and then we deal with it. We might not know what a person would do if they were to get information or guidance about where to put their money, or if they want to believe in God or not. All these things are a part of how we relate to artificial intelligence. Speaking about the troubles that we have right in front of us as we go through life, because I have seen medical problems, I've had them, and I also know that there are people around us that I've seen where, oh, they get a bad cut, they break a leg, they have something happen with a heart, they have, I've seen the death happen, I've seen the trouble happen, and how are we going to deal with that if we don't have AI? Yeah, well, that's a part of what goes on. And so what are we going to do? I think everybody would do well to have a first aid class and learn about the basics of first aid. As I said, I've set bones before. I've seen people at the end of life right before me. And so it's something that it is better to know how to act when these emergency things happen, because we don't want people to suffer, and we want to give the comfort of God through Jesus Christ to other people when things are actually happening. When people, maybe they're feeling threatened, maybe there's really hard things coming along, and we get to speak about the wisdom of God through Jesus Christ. And that's a part of what we do too. It's a part of the human compassion that we want to have. We don't want to have the computer give somebody human compassion. Nope, it's always manipulation then. But the world is full of everything that has to do with an artificial intelligence benefit for the system. And that's something that we want to be very cautious about understanding. As this system develops, it will turn into the beast system. We're told about that. So here we are. What are we going to do in our country? Will there be another country come along that wants to take over America? Well, that's been the way of the world. History shows that countries will take over other countries so that they can get the assets, the good things, the benefits, the artificial intelligence benefits, the planes, the gold, everything that they want, the system. That is something that America has, and other countries want it for us. They want to take it. China wants to be the dominant country on Earth. Russia wants to get rich by the services that they can gather. And they are. They're doing it. Everybody in the foreign countries and the governments are doing what they can to be dominant over the rest of the world around them. That is going on, and we still have to be wise enough to understand how we can remain free and independent, free enough to worship God through Jesus Christ. That's a part of it too. So we have to exercise that and be a part of that freedom as we live. And for sure we will have surprises happen. We will have emergencies that come up. And somehow we want to refer back to our biblical understanding about how to deal with the troubled times in life. Or even leaders. We think of the leaders around us. We think of Trump. We think of Xi. We think of Putin. And all these people have characteristics of those people in the Bible. And that will give us an understanding of what we are to do and how we are to do the things about experience and the consequences of what we do today to understand what it will be like tomorrow. Our government will not save us. The Red Cross will not save us. Our church won't save us. Maybe we will have to call upon God as individuals to help understanding of what we are to do to preserve life. And what is life composed of? It's freedom to worship God. It is the basic things of life, like water, food, and warmth. And somehow, we want to have some of all of these things available. We want to have hymnals available so we can sing praises to God through Jesus Christ. It's something that we all have to gather an understanding about what we are going to do so that we can live free and worship God with and through Jesus Christ, that we can get to that heavenly place. And we think about Matthew 7:14, where it talks about the narrow and difficult path that goes to life. Life speaks to me as saying, as it will go to eternal life in that heavenly place. And the other way is the highway that leads to death. It leads to what I think everybody understands is hell, the lake of fire. So we get to choose the narrow path that is difficult, or we get to choose the highway that leads to that hellish place. We all make a choice as we go through life. What are we doing each and every minute? Are we giving praise and thanks to God through Jesus Christ, or are we living for ourselves to try to pick and choose the things of this world that will give us nice things and glory? It's not about us. It needs to be about God through Jesus Christ. And somehow, we make our choices every day as we live. We will have problems, and the problems help us choose one path or the other, the path to life or the path to destruction in hell. It's going to be a choice that we make as we live. In a way, it's every day. In a way, it's every hour. What are we actually choosing? We all make the choice. So I know there are people who say, I've spoken the words. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And therefore you think, oh, now I'm all set for heaven. And of course, I'm not the one making the decisions. Jesus is. At the end of life, he will tell you what the judgment is. And we want to choose to live for Jesus and not choose the path that leads to death and that hell fire. It's a lake of fire. And we all say we won't choose that, but we choose every day by how we live. Are we upholding the commandments of God through Jesus Christ? We make choices all the time, every day. So this is what I'm here to tell you about, is to warn you to be careful and cautious that you are on the path to life and not the path to perdition. There's only two choices. We make a choice every day as we live, and then we show our love to the people around us, again, by how we live. How are we living? The Bible helps us to understand, and that is why I would say read that book regularly and understand it. I'm always glad to talk about the things that are of God. I'm glad to talk about preserving life as we do as we go through life. Sometimes it helps to have some things on hand. How do we get through life? With food and water and warmth. And so I have a preparedness paper that talks about what we can do to prepare to get through a difficult time. And I don't know what your difficult time will be. Maybe it'll be hunger and thirst. Maybe it'll be a time when your car doesn't work. Maybe it'll be a time when there's a medical injury involved. And I have had all those things happen. And so I like to be prepared for many things. I like to be prepared for an injury happening to another person. So you have a little basic first aid. You have a little first aid knowledge. And that way you can be a saving something to the person around you. And that's what we do. So I have that little paper, which I give away for free. If you just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I'll get that preparedness paper right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And thank you for today. I am concerned about people's eternity and what are we going to do. Sometime we learn how to pray for people or with people. And that is also something we do. Thank you for today. God bless you.